Continuing with Wild Track for Last Stand Farmer, Richard Brick's film, we're at Sound Roll number 6.
Yeah, I went down one morning, number 6, and the whole bottom went right out under it.
Wow.
Never even jammed the tank or anything.
Boy, that's good luck.
That was good luck.
When we walked away from it that afternoon I helped you, I was wondering whether it all be there the next day.
Because
it just sits there and it weighs so much.
Yeah, we filled it about 3 times this year so far.
Yeah, first time you see something, it always looks strange. You don't know how it works.
Yeah. An old fellow over the Berkshire, he filled his tank, put one hold up all 5 barrels in, and began to run down through the bottom, you know. And Harry says, "You'll have to take that sap out." And I said, "No," he says, "I'll go down and get some cornmeal." So he goes down and gets some cornmeal, puts in his sap, and he goes down there and runs in them holes. And he goes all through sugar and never even solders it. Just put cornmeal down in there. Joyce, I wouldn't have any luck of getting the cornmeal down where the holes was.
It would sink through the sap?
Yeah.
That's some remedy.
Yeah. I bought an old Ford, Model T Ford. Run pretty good when I got it. Pretty soon she quit. And Harry took the head off. And by God, them walls was all full of cornmeal. Somebody put the cornmeal on the radiator to stop it from leaking, went back in the head of the can and plugged the whole damn thing up. So I got a different radiator and put on a pretty good old Ford.
With the cornmeal and all.
took cornmeal out of it. That plugged everything full, you know, got it to boiling worse than it did before. It didn't stay in the radiator. It went right through and went back into the motor.
Hmm. Must have been pretty well cooked.
got almost had cornmeal mush. That's something we used to eat a lot of, cornmeal mush back in the old days. Cornmeal was pretty cheap.
Yeah, I've had it once or twice.
Yeah, take that and put syrup on it, it's damn good.
Yeah, I could put syrup on hay and like it.
Yeah. Well, they do put molasses on hay for cows, you know.
Doctoring them?
Yeah, buy big barrels of molasses, you know, and mix it with warm water and put it right under your hay, poor hay. Make the cattle lick it right into them. Boy, they like it. Yeah, the farmers used to buy a lot of molasses, but I imagine molasses is higher now.
Oh, yeah.
That's saga molasses. Strong. We got into a barrel of it down, fella just lived where the librarian lived, used to be, bought stock, and he was a drover and bought stock and took them southward and shipped them out. And he used to buy molasses. So we drawed out a little bit in our dinner pails and tasted it, and boy, it was strong, rugged stuff, thick. Just like extra grease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't pour very well.
No.
Neither scissors.
Boy, that snow's coming down. Just, God, is this spring or is it starting in the winter?
I don't know. This is the best place to be, though.
Yeah?
People in town are fighting the roads.
Yeah, we thought we wouldn't even go down this morning.
Yeah, I was all set. I had my long underwear on, and then I looked out of the window, and yeah. I figured you weren't going to collect today.
Oh. No, people are taking the winter tires off. In the shoe business, he had a place up in Mount Pigeon, and they was in Massachusetts then. And they want to go to Montreal. Her folks was up in Montreal, Waterloo, and come off just about the same as now in the fall of the year. And back then, you didn't have winter treads, you know. And so they went and bought a brand new pair of chains, and they run them chains. You know, everybody depended on each other back then. This was always a good neighborhood there, too. Always good neighbors.
Yeah. Will this make it easier or harder to take the horses out?
Well, should be, after it gets down a little bit, should be easier.
Easier?
Yeah, they won't slip so much.
Be dry packed snow, that'd be good.
Yeah. They wouldn't step on that damned old ice so quick. Boy, I'm glad I didn't take them out that day she was up here. I guess we probably would just gone down in the pasture if it had stopped raining.
Yeah.
Just enough so you got the pictures. But that next morning, boy, that damned ice was... We started gathering with the tractor, and I was glad I didn't take them out. Down in this field, they sled almost jackknifed around, so come ahead of the tractor.
Oh.
Nothing but just last up.
Yeah.
But it's gradually eating that ice out. So after this mess gets over, I guess probably we can get some pictures you want.
It'll look just like winter.
Yeah.
It'll look fine.
Maybe there ain't no stop to this. Maybe we're going to get about 4 feet.
Well, they said 6 to 12 inches, but high elevation some more, so maybe we'll see 15.
Well, this is kind of a isolated damn spot through here anyway. Seems so we get more snow when it's later, but in a certain... You go over to Berkshire before this last snow, Arthur was over through there and said you can see the hay stubbles.
Yeah, it wasn't much.
Yeah.
Of course, it'll get warm and this will all be gone soon.
Yeah, if you don't go off too fast and flood somebody, don't me. Either 43 or 44, and they'd already turned the cattle out. They come 12 inches, a heavy snow, and had to take cattle back into barn. And that was between the 5th and the 15th of May. So you never can tell.
Mm.
I've seen the snow pretty good. It didn't mount anything, didn't last, didn't accumulate much. But planting potatoes on Decoration Day, which is the 30th, I got in your hands, it was cold, and it snowed and blowed, and... So you never can tell.
Well, I hope not this year.
This will be sound reel number 7.
You gotta have 2 or 3 minutes before you turn down, so I think of a good lie.
Well, I heard about the calf getting chewed. I wanted to hear what happened.
God, nobody knows. Neighbor over there. Early in the morning, he heard these dogs, but he didn't get up. He ain't been very well. And when we went over there, the heifer's head was all blood, and they tried to pull her down by her ears. One ear is coming back a little bit, and the other one, I guess, never will be any good. It hangs right down the side of her head. And they chewed her ears all up, and they bit her on the flank. I think it's probably somebody's dogs around here, because dogs will chase cattle. And they probably don't look so it was a wild dog, because it seems so they'd gone for the throat. These pulled her down by the ears. And hell, she probably lost more than what she'd gained all winter. Just one day, one time. Why, she was gaunt, poor, and weak.
By being scared.
Yeah. Yeah, I got in the bind now. She's just getting why she's starting to eat again. I think a lot of people seem to think it's these cold dogs. They're half dog and half wolf. Seems to think they're over in Taylor Valley, they claim. They've been seen over there. But I would say, Bob, it was some domestic dogs right around here. Bobby got to playing with them, and then they got a little rougher. They seemed to try to pull her down by ears. And I went over the next morning, daylight, with a shotgun. I never even see as much as a squirrel. Nothing around. If I see them, and they're chasing the cattle, I'll shoot them if I can. But if a dog just going by the place or in the fields or anything, I won't molest a dog. But if they're trying to drag my cattle down, I'd shoot them. But if they're just fooling around in the pasture, I'd shoot over the head and drive them off. I wouldn't shoot no man's dog unless I had to.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Because Earl said one of his got chewed. Did you hear that?
No.
I mean, first I heard about Mattoon's.
Yeah.
Then Suzanne came home and told me about yours. Quarter of seven last week, Earl called us up for Pomerantz, his phone number. Because he said he saw that white dog out there. So we gave him the phone number, but I couldn't believe that dog would...
Not alone, I don't believe it.
And he didn't see any other, but he was real angry. So he called them up, but they said that white dog was at home at the time it happened.
You can't go just because you see a white dog. And I don't believe that she would chase him alone. I don't believe it. But she might. The two of them together might. But I didn't see no dogs, so I can't say. Why, there was wild dogs or domestic dogs. It was a dog, all right, because they was barking out there. And Clarence ain't very well, and he didn't go out. But he heard the dogs barking, and knows the dogs, all right. And I don't think they've been back. I haven't had any trouble so far.
Oh, there's the shotgun in the corner.
Yeah, Harry's.
That's an old big one.
Yeah, That's a pretty nice gun. It shines you like a bottle inside. I'm going to buy me a rifle. If you have a chance to buy a rifle anywhere, let me know, will you?
30-30 or something?
Yeah, I'd like a 30-30 carbine.
I'll keep an eye out. I'm looking for... There's a possible pickup truck I found.
Yeah, so... Hell, well, they had the rifle around there and sold it. Damn good. It was a 30-40 Krag, one of the old army rifles they had before they put out the M1s. It was a beautiful rifle, but hell, I didn't use it, so I sold it. I wish I had it back now. Not as I probably wouldn't use a rifle once in 10 years. Which is just the idea of having one when you need it.
About 50 years ago, I had a 30.
Someday. I bought that one way back in about... '26, probably '27. I bought that $17 and a half. And he'd been offered $100 for it. Never been only two boxes of shells put through it.
When
I bought it, it was perfect shape. She's a hard hitting old rifle. Yeah, ask him, tell him you'd like to look at it.
Because I used to have one of those, I'd like to see the difference.
Was yours a long rifle?
It was long as that one.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yours was a 32-42?
Marlin,
yeah.
Lever action.
Oh, yours was, Marlin, just same as when you stir under the shells come out the side.
I bet we had the same rifle.
Yeah.
I sold it to Gordon Sandemore.
Yeah, and this one Arthur's got, the shells come right out the top.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the only difference. Wasn't he getting up a collection or something?
Yeah. All the Marlins, all the Marlins of that period. 30-06, 30-30, 32-40. One of every caliber?
Yeah. I had a damn good rifle and a damn fool. I didn't care much about rifles anyway. And it was a 40-70 Winchester. That was long-barreled. Took a bullet that big. And I got the 40-70 longs. They wouldn't work from the magazine up through. If I got the 40-70 shorts, which was made for it, I'd been all set. Hell, I sold that rifle for $8. Had it now, it'd be worth 100. That was a 40-70 Winchester. I took a goddamn bullet that long, you know.
Never heard of that, son.
How that old devil would speak.
You
ever hear of a 4590?
4590, no. Springfield wanted. That didn't come out about the same time as the
4070. What, is that a Winchester or a Springfield?
Winchester.
Yeah? No, I never happened to see one of them. We had a 5070. Springfield, single shot. Had it had a breech, it opened right up, you know, like a scuttle. And that old son of a gun, you need a pair of wheels under the bottom, you know, take it around. Boy, that was heavy.
Sounds like an elephant gun.
Yeah, and this one that Ernie was telling about, they used to have a 4590 German needle gun. And that, you sure as hell need the whole wagon to draw that around. They claim that thing would shoot a mile, level sighted, and kill.
It had a shell as big as your finger and as long as your finger.
Yeah, not an awful weapon. And I had a 41 Swiss one time. That had scuttle action. That wasn't too accurate. Somebody cut it off. There was a long rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I guess it was quite a rifle when there was the whole length, but he spoiled it by cutting it off. It never was too accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But them old guns, you couldn't begin to get the ammunition for them now.
I know.
Just for souvenirs or keepsakes or something.
That's what's good about the 30-30. You can get that anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And I had a neighbor, Floyd Lyon's father, he sent off to this Francis Bannerman's, New York. They had all guns and stuff. And he got a 56 Spencer. And you loaded it right through the butt. Put your shells right in, just same as you would a magazine, right through the butt. And that damn thing, had maybe one bullet would go pretty accurate, and the next one would go sideways. That damn thing was no good, you know, it was so.
It was all wore out of it.
Yeah, damn rifling was all gone.
The 3240 are $6 and a half a box for 10.
Yeah, for 10.
Now.
Yeah.
So it's good you don't have that anymore.
God, you couldn't afford it, and it's hard to get them at that.
Only made in Canada.
Yeah.
This koi dog you mentioned, that some people thought it was a koi dog?
Yeah.
Have you had trouble with them before?
I never seen one. They told about it, and they had trouble out in New York State with them. You see, they're half domestic dog and half wolf. And they got the cunning of a wolf and the brains of a domestic dog. And that makes them pretty bad. They've been known out there in New York State, northern New York State, to pull calves and stuff right out of the pen, right behind a house.
Pigs, too.
Yeah, pigs. Mm-hmm. See, the one half of them, they're domestic, they're smart, they know all the things. And the other, and then they got the cunning of a damn wolf. It makes a... They showed some pictures of them. They look just about like a dog.
And they're running packs, I guess.
Yeah.
You once told me about some sort of wild animal Was it a panther?
Yeah, we had a black panther here a number of years ago, back in the 40s, I guess it was, 46, 47. You couldn't keep any cattle in this big pasture. You couldn't keep horses, cows, or nothing over there. And one night I was down in a field, and I see him come out of the grass, jump a fence, and stop. And he was a good 4 to 5 feet long, tail and all, black, shiny, close to the ground. And my old shepherd dog had, he come right back and got right between my legs, began to shiver like that. And I made up my mind when the dog would shiver, there wasn't no place for me. And I had the rifle too, and I never even took a shot at him. And they had the young down in there. And as soon as the young got big enough to travel, they left. And then the deer come back, and cattle would stay over there then. They just had the young down there and then moved out. No, you won't keep any cattle in the one near a panther or a bear. Even the smell of a bear, the damn cattle will get out.
Guess they'll run right through the fence from fear.
Yeah. Yeah, they come right through the gate down here, never even stopped to open it or anything. It's a stove bed also. Well, had four big horses in there. And they come out through first and then the cattle right behind them. They just took that damn gate down just so it was tissue paper. I could keep them in this pasture. But they didn't work that way. They worked down that corner. God, they wouldn't see a deer or anything. And then as soon as I see a deer over there, I made up my mind it's cattle, so I put them back over in there. And they stayed all right then.
I heard about panthers being around here, but I never heard a story. Someone saw one.
You hear over around Gainesville and up in the Ripton Range, Hancock, and up through there, you hear them quite often. I think it was Rochester. They had one last fall over there. Yeah, you hear them every little while over there.
And what would they do? They jump a calf if they could?
Not in the summertime if they ain't hungry. They don't molest anything. But when they get hungry, hell, they pull down a calf, cow, or any damn thing. I guess it was the smell of them more than anything. They didn't molest nothing. They didn't touch anything, as I know of. I don't think they even run the horses or anything. Just the smell of them and the horses come out of there. But you hear in the paper here, about every fall, about over around Randolph, Rochester, Gainesville, in there somewhere, somebody has seen a panther, a yellow one or a black one. I don't know why these damned fisher cats, why they jump an animal or not. Of course, they'll kill rabbits and birds and porcupines and everything and just kill them, leave them right on the ground. We found quite a lot of rabbits up on the side hill. I just chawed the head off them and left them. I'd shoot one of them bastards if I see it too, and the law protects them.
I know, they stocked them for some reason. They got out of hand.
Yeah, they stocked them to kill the porcupines, and they're worse nuisance than the porcupines ever was. It's a porcupine, won't do anything, only might kill a tree getting food or something, eat the bark off of it. A porcupine won't molest anything, only just when he's hunting for salt or something to eat. They're a pretty good animal. Of course, they're hell on dogs, if dogs molest them or anything, but I don't think around this section that they ever eat trees enough to make a money.
This is Sound Reel number 8.
There ain't much to tell. Just an old pickup, I guess.
That's Lyle's?
Yeah, one Lyle had. Yeah, but it's a good pickup to fix up. It's got something to build onto. The doors are good and solid yet, and they shut good. And put in some heavy metal in the bottom. And then weld on, take a spring, have it bent, and weld it right in then, right up beside your doors.
Mm-hmm.
And them doors will be good as long as the body is. Oh, it ain't too bad a shape. But it's seen better days, like me.
Did Lyle have it from when it was new?
No, he bought it second hand. 30,000 on it when he bought it, and it's about 70 now.
Mm-hmm.
He put on about 40,000. He got him a brand new one.
I saw him in it. I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
It's red, I think.
Yeah. $3,000 job. God, that's a lot of money for a little pickup, ain't it?
Yeah, I think about $1,800 is all they're worth new. They rust out so fast.
Yeah, that's right. But they want about $1,800 for one that's 4 or 5 years old now.
I know,
They're pretty expensive things. There's one advertised that was a 68 half ton. They wanted $1,100 for it. And there's one, that one down the Boynes, that was a 69, been jammed up some in front. They want $900 for that.
Mm.
No, they're pretty expensive now. Anything that's anywhere near solid.
Did yours get inspected?
Yeah, I inspected the old Jeep. $2.15.
What was the 15 for?
I don't know. A fuse, I guess.
A fuse?
Yeah. No, it didn't grab up the one that Herbie's got now up there.
Yeah.
And he run it for years. And anybody that he liked, a friend of his, somebody that he'd always known, he didn't charge him too heavy. But let somebody come in that had plenty of money, he made up for the other fellas.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, that's what he always said. God, he said he got plenty of money. He said we'd charge him the extra.
It's like what you told me Max Haywood did.
Yeah, well, Max always do that.
That's a good practice.
Mother Hadley, she had an old big car back in them days. I forget what it was. I guess it was Cadillac, Packard. And Max, he used to keep her coming, you know, and he put near lived on that woman through the summer. He'd fix it, and it'd last a while, and then she'd have it back down there. Max, he'd always fix it for her when she brought it down, you know, and charge her. He put near lived on Mrs. Hadley. Oh, Miss Hadley, I don't remember why she was a married woman or not. She was related to the Morrises and the Atwoods. I think she was sister to Atwood. No, that wouldn't be, unless she'd been married. Or some relative, anyway. Because she used to stay over there in where Morris is now.
Yeah.
That big house. And the Atwoods, they always had money. Ever since I've known them. They owned the court down there.
Mm-hmm.
And when it burnt, they said they'll never have another building there. Atwood said, yes, we will. So he went to work and put up another building.
Out of the same brick?
Yeah. Where the extensive office is now there.
Yeah.
And he had a gas pump. And I don't remember what it was. And then over the next place, it used to be the old hardware store. And they had a gas pump in there. I don't remember what it was. Then where Ackerman's live, they had two, where Ackerman runs his store. And then, of course, over where Kennedy's is now, it used to be the old livery stable in there, just where you get the restaurant. They had a gas pump in there. And let's see, Buttons had one for a good many years.
The town looked real different.
And Sandman's had one for quite a few years, but they didn't have them back at that time, Buttons. And then Richie come in later. He had a gas pump up there. Kennedy's up there, they always had two. I guess they don't have any now. They all, old man Kennedy, up above where Peanuts is now. Mm-hmm. Right in between that and that little house that's up there. That's where Herb Scratch come from.
Yeah.
And he always had two pumps in there. Hell, practically everybody that was doing business had a gas pump at that time.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. This town had 9 or 10 one time.
No one would know back then what's going on now.
Yeah, you'd find a gas pump most 5 or 6 in every little town. And there was just one.
Yeah. Yeah, the movies were really something.
Yeah. But they shouldn't charge a man like that any more. His taxes shouldn't be any more than anybody else, accordingly. That's an old house up there. That's been fixed over and fixed over and fixed. That ain't got nice hardwood floors. That's got big wide boards in the floors. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't charge him any more accordingly than they do somebody else. They're charging you more, quite exempted for $6,000, I think.
That's in the book, Kenneth. I saw it.
Yep. And still my damn taxes went up 560, something like that.
Went up that much?
No, that's what they're going to be. See, they were 708 last year. And they're up to 560 this year with the exemption. See, they figure that all out, you know. So if your homestead and 2 acres of land, they're going to boost that up high enough so that you're still going to be paying on the rest of it right through the nose.
What kind of exemption was it?
Army exemption. Yeah, they took that out all right, but the tax rate and everything, they still, the damn taxes are up between $500 and $600.
So tell me what it was last year then. It was
708. About $148, such a matter different this year. Of course, $148 is quite a little tax. But they keep coming up. They don't mount a dam, you know. They keep putting the tax rate up a little bit. And the high valuation, you're paying a hell of a tax even if you are exempted. But. And just same as I said to Arthur when he built his new house. I says, why didn't you get it off the list for so many years? Hell, he says, that don't make any difference. They catch you heavier when they do take it in, so they get the money back.
Did he never put in for that?
No, he never got a cent.
Mm. Yeah, I was down looking in the book, because...
The difference, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to tell you, this place here calls for, I'm pretty sure, the old original deed calls for 165 acres. And then I've got about, I'm supposed to have about 18 more over there left. But if they've overlooked it, Christ, you see how much more it'll be. Angel's down there, he got about the same as I have now. And Christ, his tax was in $900 last year.
Boy.
Christ, and his buildings were all shot.
I know.
Christ, and that house there is just living on its reputation. It's worse than mine. Because mine is a solid underneath and it's got a good roof on the top. But his old house there is all out of shape. You just notice when you come down the road, not talking against the neighbor, because it don't make any difference. Bobby's done all he could ever do. But the house was started to go to hell before he bought it. Hell, he was telling me one time, it looked just so they took up some boards in the backside and poured some cement down through, supposed to hit underneath the sill. And I don't think he's ever put sills under it since. I bet there ain't no back sill under it at all.
Mm.
And the little house on the end there, that's his fault. He didn't roof it, nothing, it ain't worth a dollar. And it was a good little house. The man that lived there before had a son. He got married and he built it new for him, expecting he was going to live there in that new house. And they never lived there in a length of time. He thought it was too close to his folks, you know. He wanted to get out for himself. And that was quite a nice little house, but they didn't keep it roped, and it just went right down.
Mm-hmm.
And the old big barn's there. Yeah, standing on reputation more than anything else. Take a horse barn. Bob, you've noticed the horse barn across the road there?
Yeah.
She sags right down.
I know, a couple of heavy winters, and that'll be it.
Yeah. If you take these old buildings, now I've let mine go down too in ways, and other ways we fix them up. But if you keep the sills under them and keep a roof on them, they last as long as anybody'd ever need them. 3-4 generations. I don't know, but they'd last as long as the world stood, as long as you kept a roof on them and sealed them.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get to leaking, and they leave the dirt, the banking up around the side of the house, and they gather moisture and eat the sills out. And then pretty soon it comes down.
I notice you take it down right away and let the air get around it.
Yeah, you take the houses in the village, you'd be surprised you get on the back side of them. They look pretty good while they look towards the road. That place right across from Colby's where I guess Tucker lives there now. God, I was out there and cut the weeds for the old lady that lived there. My God, that damn, there's no sill under there. There was no sill under there at the time. She'd, the building gone right down into the dirt. No sill under it at all. God, you come get the weeds and stuff cleaned out, you see why that building gone right down into the dirt. Maybe not the main house, you know, but this is a shed that's built on the back end.
I know, he's...
to the attic floor. And when Arthur got this one up and got ready to want to move that one, he'd take right hold of it. Only damn thing was holding it, so I went out the ridgepole.
Mm.
Well, that damn thing, you rock it right back and forth. He had great big cracks in it, the whole length of it. Damn one that didn't burn the house right down, you know.
That was the chimney that was here when you were a boy?
Yeah. That'd been just come down to the attic floor, never come down through. Pipes all had to go up through the attic, up through the floor. Damn one that didn't burn up. And I've seen it fire in that damn thing when they catch a fire that you can see clear up to your little cabin up there. Just as bright as day. How in hell it kept that from burning, I don't know. Guess on his reputation, probably. This one here has never burnt out.
Well, that's a real good one.
Yeah, sometimes when there's snow on the roof and everything, snow all around, I wish it would burn out. It's never burned out. You got to clean out the bottom. And you clean out probably 5-6 pails full in the fall before winter comes. She never burns out. Yeah, Arthur made that one. We got the brick over to the old mines. They tore down the mining houses over there. They put up for the help. They was one floor buildings, and they tore them down. And we had the brick given to us. We wanted to have the chimneys down. We could have the brick and the liners. God, we tore them down careful and saved the liners, the tiles inside. Of course, we got enough. I guess we've been about 4 chimneys made that up.
Yeah, the brick must cost 12, 14 cents each today.
God, I imagine. It'd be a small fortune to build a chimney now. And they was brick that had been taken out of the old smelter over there. They'd been used 2 or 3 times, the same brick, and they were still damn good brick.
Suzanne was telling me that your family has a reunion in the summer sometimes.
Yeah, this coming Sunday.
Tell me about it. You gonna go?
No. Hell, I never go. I never get out in a crowd.
Yeah, even your own folks?
Huh?
Even your own folks?
No, don't never. Some of them I don't even know. Yeah, who's got grandchildren that I've never seen. No, I don't very seldom ever go to anything like that.
How long they been getting together?
I don't know. Quite a few years.
In July, usually.
Yeah. So this coming Sunday. I guess that's right, isn't it?
Sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, they're going to have it on that crossroad down there in Berkshire. As you're going towards West Valley, turn off right, just below that little bit.
This will be Sound Reel 9.
This fella, they wanted to put a road up through to where Berger lives. The road used to go down further, where Burbank went up into Sugar Place, up and then crossed over. And there was a hell of a hole up through there. So they wanted the town seize a piece of this man's land to put the road up through. Well, it didn't hurt him a bit. There was none but a mud hole anyway. But he made them pay for it. And the fellows lived up there. They had to pay for the right of way. So they see my dad and they wanted to buy that spring. If they could buy that spring, they could choke him off from water, you see. Daddy wouldn't even talk with him. Said anybody would shut anybody else from man and his stock and stuff from water. He didn't want to have anything to do with them. So they've always been uneasy about that spring down there. There's no damn need for it at all.
Your dad sounds like just the same kind of man as Arthur and you did when I was cut off from electricity.
Yeah.
And you both said you can hook on.
Yeah, hell, I'll do anything to help a man.
I thought I moved into quite a neighborhood, judging by sight.
Yeah.
I thought I was stuck, no electricity.
Yeah. Sykes and James both, huh?
Yeah.
James is going to charge you $2,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sykes, he was going to charge you how much if you bought his?
$4,000.
Yeah, $4,000 for 2 acres, huh? Well.
I got the letter. I saved it. Cause
yeah.
You don't see a letter like that every day.
No. But that goes show you what the country's coming to. If somebody wants an acre of land, they're going to put the price up just as high as they can put it. And if he don't take it, somebody else will come in and buy it. They wouldn't sell a man a piece of land because they're reasonable so that he could afford to own it. They got to have everything he has in it. No, when I heard about you trying to hitch on, I knew damn well we'd get around that one way or the other. Because you could have come right in across from my corner there and gone up just above Sykes. This way, you wouldn't hit Sykes at all. We'd get bypassed that all right. Just same as this Wheeler, you know Wheeler?
Yeah.
Down. He bought this land off Lad Lyon, the other side of the gully hole, Lord Clarence's. Well, the only thing I had to do was tell them that they could set one pole right in the old barn cellar there, which I own. That was on the same principle as what you got. They used to put a heavy tin bonnet on top of the chimney. It'll come up, maybe 8-10 inches. And the wind couldn't get in on it two ways. I don't know why in hell anybody couldn't have a changeable bonnet on there. Why couldn't they? Put something on top of your chimney, something where you could reverse your bonnet around.
Artie's got one over his chimney over there.
Depending how the wind would blow.
Yeah, you could have it on a kind of a swivel, like. This cattle buyer used to come around spring of year and buy cattle, and then he wouldn't get them till turning out time. And he was down at Sugar House. My dad asked him if he liked syrup. No, he says, not very much. So Dad took a big scoopful, which would hold about 2 quarts of syrup, set it out in the snow, and then he handed it to this cattle buyer. He drank every bit of them 2 quarts of syrup. I don't know how it worked on him afterwards, but two quarts of syrup right there before he quit.
Must have been from Texas.
It must have been. He didn't care for it very little.
You might have to change your pants.
You might.
Maybe not quite that quick. We're gonna have to.
Yeah, but syrup always tastes best like that. Do you ever have sugar on snow?
No, I heard about it.
Yeah, we'll have to have some this year. Yeah, it goes pretty nice. A lot to feed them, and instead of going across the creek to get water to mop her floor, she tapped a beech tree, and then one other spring she tapped a birch, and that beech tree run more sap than a maple ever did, and she used to take that and wash her floors.
Yeah.
Said it washed them nice and white, better than water. And I don't imagine there was any sweetness or anything to it, just the sap, that's all. And a birch will run better than a maple.
Just no sugar in it?
No, I don't think so. Never heard of anybody boiling them or anything. They don't tap a pine around here, but in the south, they tap that pine. It's a different kind of a pine, turpentine pine. They cut a groove in it, and then they set a little dish that looks like a flower pot, and it runs down in there. And a lot of times they have a little tin bent up, you know, and they lay right in that groove. And that damn stuff will run right down in that groove, right in that tin, right in them pots. And they gather that about every day. Make turpentine out of it.
Oh, that's why it's called turpentine pine.
Yeah.
Is that stuff sticky, gooey, same as regular pine juice?
Yeah. Yeah, sticky damn stuff. There was a woman, she had two nephews that got into service. She owned a big stand of pine in Louisiana. And she wouldn't ever sell it to the government, wouldn't sell it to nobody. A lot of trees stood there and died, you know, and fell over. Just a minute, she got her two nephews. The army wanted that pine, you know, for war purpose stuff. She just opened up, sure, and cut it all clean if I wanted it, as long as she had two nephews in the service. Anything to get the war over. And they cut pines down there. It was 2,400 feet in one tree. My God, you know, they run right into heavens, and they was big old Christers. They had men there that went up and cut the top of the tree off. If you didn't dare follow them, split hell out of them. Sometimes they'd cut just the top off, sometimes they cut the top and the first log. And they cut them, any length, anywhere from 20 to 30 feet long. And they logged it with donkey engines and flat calves, and built a railroad as they went back. They built a railroad, had the train going right back into them groves and loaded the lumber on the way they go. Mostly Negroes, cutting them with old long saws. And they had to have some pretty long ones too. And I see them fellows, them old big buck niggers, you know, sawing there, and they go over today and back tomorrow. God, it don't look so. It looks so. It'd take about 10 minutes for them to pull the saw through, over and back, and over and back, and the water running right off them fellows, a stream.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down and I was talking to this old big dyke, and I says, "What do you do, cut by the thousand?" He says, "What, boy?" He says, "What you doing, making fun of me?" I said, "No, I just asked you a question." I said, "You cutting by the thousand?" He says, "Ours don't know nothing about a thousand." He says, "Ours work by the day." He says, $2.25 a day. And you see how they was getting the best of them dykes there? That was in wartime, 42. Paying them $2 a day for cutting pine, $2.25 a day. That's the way they've always used the Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of them saws must have been 10 feet long.
Any advantage to a saw that's so long?
Well, they'd have to have them to get them through the trees, you see.
Because the trees are so big.
Yeah. And there was them old-fashioned saws that we used to have way back. I don't know if we ever used one of them. And they had stationary handles on them. Didn't have any clearers, did they?
No, just teeth.
Just teeth, no clearers. And that, they'd go back over once, you know, and come back tomorrow, and over that. And all, they didn't seem to hurry at all. But they seemed to drop right down through, though.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had that block and tackle put up, and they logged the whole thing with donkey engine. That's freedom of speech, the freedom of religion. Why could a man be Catholic, be Christian just as well as be a Protestant?
Mm-hmm.
They don't practice what they preach.
No, they sure don't.
Black man be just as good a president. Color shouldn't have anything to do with it.
Shouldn't?
He'd be just as honest as them fellas are down there. Couldn't be any more so.
God, he couldn't be any crookeder, could he?
I think you're any better on president next time.
And he ain't any better than anybody else.
No, he's supposed to set the example for the rest of us and everything. Huh. He ain't doing a very good job of it.
Well, that's what they're worried, that come April 15th, the federal income tax is pretty much based on the honesty of every man to send in what he's supposed to. And when they look at what the president's doing, they're not going to collect much this
no,
year.
But it'll take a damn poor innocent fellow, and they'll cut him wide open, a little fellow.